ating pong pinagdiwa ng ating 41st anniversary. We have heard a wonderful and powerful sermon about a forgetful generation. At very fitting, tayo po ngayon ay nasa ganung klaseng kalagayan. Ang ating pong membership ay pumasok na sa mga anak, no, from the pioneering members of TNC. Now ay mga miyembro na, ay dahan-dahan nagiging miyembro ang ating mga anak. And Lord willing, the third generation is also kikilala po sa Lordship ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. I would like to make this particular sermon this morning as a miscellaneous sermon before I'll go back again in my Genesis sermon series, particularly in chapter 5. Because Lord willing, next week, ako po ay naanyayahan ni Pastor Ari sa kanila namang pong church anniversary, a long overdue invitation. It should be last year nung inimbitahan po natin siya bilang ating speaker for our 40th anniversary. Eh, tinanggihan ko, pero hindi ko na humatanggihan ngayon. So, nakabook na po ako last year pa. So, Brother Ruben naman po ay nakaschedule for a speaking engagement to Sovereign Grace Christian Church in San Pedro, Laguna. And Deacon Danny will be taking over the pulpit this coming June 12th. So open your Bibles in 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. It is just one single verse. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Talakayin po natin. Gusto kong ibigay muna sa atin ang konteksto ng epistle na ito. Ang 1 John po ay in-address ni Apostol Juan na kahuli-huling apostol na nabuhay sa mga grupo ng mga mananampalataya, sapagkat ang iglesia sa panahong ito ay dahan-dahan ng pinapasok ng maling mga katuruan. At na dinedeny po nila ang incarnation ni Christ, at dahan-dahan na rin pong lumalaganap ang teaching ng Gnosticism na nag-creep in o naging isang full-grown heresy ng second century. So ito po makikita natin, the embryo of Gnosticism, false heretical teaching, is now in play, sapagkat magko-crossover na ang iglesia from first century towards to second century. At makikita po natin dito sa mga talatang ito ang pananalita ng isang matandang apostol na karapat dapat na kilalanin, tingnan, at bigyang respeto sa kanyang mga huling pananalita. Siya po ang kahuli-huliang apostol na nabuhay magmula doon po sa pagkatawag sa kanya ng Diyos ng Panginoong Hesukristo sa kanyang earthly ministry. Napakahalaga po ang kanyang huling pananalita. It is such of an exceptional importance. Subalit, ang kanyang pananalita, hindi kagaya po ng mga huling pananalita ng mga apostol sa kanilang mga epistles, ay pagbati at benediction. Normally, yun po ang pinakastilo ng mga apostol when they are going to end their epistle. Either by greetings, na ito po yung madalas gamitin ni Apostol Pablo, or by benediction. However, pinili po ni Juan, ni Apostol Juan, ang kahuli-huliang apostol na ang huling talata dito po sa first epistle na kaniyang isinulat ay isang babala. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Tatlong bagay po ang gusto kong makita natin dito po on this particular single verse. First is the peculiar address. Ang kakaibang address ni Apostle John, o yung kanya ng estilo ng pagtawag. Ang sabi niya, little children. Secondly, pansinin po natin ang personal responsibility. Matapos niyang tawagin ang kanyang mga mananampalataya, ang mga kapwa mananampalataya kay Kristo na munting sanggol or a little children, nagbigay siya ng personal responsibility. Keep yourself. And thirdly and finally, we see here the particular danger. Kaya saan po dapat mag-ingat ang mga munting mananampalataya? From idols. These are three things na gusto ko pong tingnan natin, pag-aralan natin this morning as a reflection, as follow-up sa mensahe pong ating anniversary message na napakinggan last Sunday. Una, the peculiar address. Little children. Ito pong terminong ito ay isang term of intimate title of endearment. Si Apostle John ay matanda na. He is on his 90s, no? Early 90s. At kinikilala po niya na ang mga mananampalataya, bagamat hindi ito kanyang physical na mga anak, ito'y tinatawag niyang mga anak. It is a term of endearment. There is a relationship. Ugnayan nila dahil sa kanilang ugnayan sa Panginoong Jesucristo. Kung paano po si Apostol Pablo, tinatawag niya si Timoteo na my beloved son. Alam naman po natin na si Apostol Pablo ay hindi naman niya talaga physical na anak si Timoteo, pero ginamit po niya sa epistle sa 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy ang mga katagang beloved son, my child, my beloved son. In like manner, ganun din po ang stilong ginawa ni John dito. Sa kanya, it's a general term sa lahat ng mga mananampalataya. Matanda man o bata, dahil during this time, it is presumably siya ang pinakamatandang mananampalataya. Why? Tama naman, logically speaking. Dahil siya'y naging mananampalataya nung pa lamang tawagin siya ng Panginoon bilang isa sa mga 12 alagad. Apostle John used a number of occasions sa epistle na ito, yung salitang little children. There are 7 times na ating masusumpungan ang paggamit ni Apostle John nitong peculiar address na ito na little children. Tingnan po natin sandali. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Chapter 2 verse 18. Children, it is the last hour as you have heard the Antichrist is coming. Chapter 3 verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. Chapter 3 verse 18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. And then ito pong John chapter 5 verse 21. Ito pong term na little children ay tumutukoy po at kumakatawan sa lahat ng mga mananampalataya kay Kristo. Subalit, maaari din nating iugnay ito na ito'y maaaring tumukoy sa mas batang mananampalataya. Sa literal na mga bata, mga young-aged believers. Kung tatingnan po natin at pag-aaralan natin ang kasaysayan sa Biblia, maraming mga nasumpungan nating mga tinawag ng Diyos sa kanilang kabataan. Nandiyan dyan si Samuel. God called Samuel when he was an age of 12 na tumulong kay Eli. Si shepherd boy David, at the age of 16, he was called as a shepherd boy. Si King Joas, at the age of 7. King Josiah, at the age of 8, he began to seek the God of his father David. At yung pong ating mga nagpatotoo last week, si Brother Ruben, 14 years old, nung siya'y tawagin ng Diyos sa pananampalataya. Si Sister Cathy na 16 years old, nung tawagin siya at isuko nila ang buhay sa Panginoon. So this term, little children, can be also applied sa mga murang kaisipan, sa mga kabataan, sa mga young people, sa mga teenagers. At bilang isang maliwanag na aplikasyon, you don't need to get old or to be older before you come to Christ. At yan po ang isang pahamon at panawagan at nais kong kausapin. Ikaw na isang kabataan. You could be an age 9 or 99 and you can come to Christ in faith and repentance. You can be a little child before God. Kung ikaw ay lalapit at titingin sa ginawa ni Kristo at kung ikay magkakaroon ng realisasyon na ikaw ay nagkasala, ikay lumabag sa batas ng Diyos, na ikay madungis sa harapan ng isang banal at matuwid na Diyos. At iyong ma-appreciate, iyong makita the preciousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can be a little children kahit ikay isang matanda na, sapagkat ang pagpapatira pa, ang pagpapakumbaba, ang tatalikuran mo, tatanggalin mo ang iyong kayabangan at ikay magpapakumbaba sa harapan ng isang banal na Diyos ay isang tanda ng pagiging isang bata. Let us remember, kung hindi nahabag ang Diyos sa atin, kung hindi nagbigay ng Diyos sa atin ng pagsisisi at pananampalataya, walang sino man sa atin ang maliligtas. For we are all sinners. For we are all lawbreakers. We keep missing the mark. Paulit-ulit. We miss the standard of God's righteousness. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Subalit ikaw, kabataan, maaaring sinasabi mo sa iyong isip at iyong ginagawang excuses, I'm still busy with my studies. I'm so busy with my college requirements. Saka na muna ako makikinig, saka na muna ako tutugon sa panawagan ng pagsisisit pananampalataya. I have just 1 week or 2 weeks break and then next week, mag-aaral na naman kami, a new semester. It may be your excuse. Or for some professionals, your excuse is probably you are so much busy with work, with your schedule, with your shift. You are so busy in putting up your business. Nagsisimula pa lang ako sa negosyong ito. Napakahigpit ng kompetisyon. I'm still in the middle of my establishing my career, my position, etc. And these things hinder you as a little child to come in faith and repentance. O di kaya you are just a young couple, a young married couple, and your excuse, you are so busy adjusting to your married life. You are busy in growing your kids na ang aking mga anak ay sunod-sunod at sickly and weakly. They need my attention. Saka na muna ako tutugon sa panawagan ng pagsisisi at pananampalataya. Well, kaibigan, kabataan, kung ganyan ang iyong iniisip at excuse, yan ay patunay lamang that you have a depraved mind. For you will never see the glory of Christ in the gospel. Kung papano ang isang bulag na tao, hindi niya ma-appreciate ang ganda ng takipsilim. Kung papano ang isang binging tao, hindi niya ma-appreciate ang ganda ng liriko at ng melody and harmony ng isang awitin. Ikaw, kaibigan, ikaw, kabataan, you have a depraved man, mind, and that's why you don't see the glory of Christ in the gospel. Subalit sa iyo, kabataan, ikaw na nakakaintindi ng panawagang ito, ikaw na nakarinig ng mensahe ng Ebanghelyo, and at this moment, the Holy Spirit is giving you conviction. Ang sabi sa iyo ng Biblia, don't harden your heart. You seek the Lord while He may be found. You call to Him while He is near. And those who seek with all His heart, with all His soul and mind, shall rest and find Him. Sabi nga po ni J.C. Ryle, and I quote, the blood of Christ can cleanse away all sins, but He must plead guilty before God in order to declare innocent. Bata man o matanda, kung ikay magpapasakop at magsusuko ng iyong buhay, magsisisi at kikilala sa Panginoong Jesucristo, ikaw ay maaaring tawaging little children. there is the intimate title of endearment. And God is our Father and we are His children. Yan po ang unang bagay na ating mapapansin sa unang talatang ito. The first two words of verse 21. The peculiar address. Secondly, the personal responsibility. Little children, keep yourself. The word keep is in the aorist imperative, which calls for a sense of urgency. It conveys, do it now. Do it quickly. Don't delay. Yun po ang ibig sabihin nung sabihin dito na little children, no, umiwas kayo. Keep yourself. The word keep is also a military language, which means to guard, to constantly vigilant, be vigilant, watchful. Ito po ay panawagan sa bawat isang mananampalataya. Every individual believer has this responsibility to keep, to be watchful, to be on guard. Kaibigan, kapatid ko kay Kristo, kinikilala mo ba ang tungkulin mong ito? Na ang bawat isa sa atin ay may responsibilidad at may tungkulin na isang Kristiyano. It is always in our hands. Hindi po ito trabaho ng iba nating kapatid. Kung hindi, ito po ay kanya-kanya nating trabaho. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. Ano pong sabi? Proverbs 24 verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance. From it flows spring of life. Nandoon po ang ideya nung sinasabi po dito na aorist imperative, a sense of urgency. Do it now. Do it quickly. Don't delay. Kung papansinin po natin sa verse 18 of the same text, makikita po natin dyan ang doctrine of sovereignty of God. Look at verse 18. Ano po sabi sa verse 18? We know that anyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who was born of God protects him. Ang Diyos po ay nag-iingat. Ang Diyos po ang nagpoprotekta sa isang mananampalataya, sa mga little children na ito. And the evil one does not touch him. Wala daw pong magagawa ang kaaway. Wala pong magagawa ang diablo. No? Saktan. Galawin ang mga nasa Panginoon. Bakit? Sapagkat siya ay nagpepreserba sa mga anak niya. However, the sovereignty of God must be put in proper perspective. There is the proper and perfect balance of sovereignty of God and human responsibility. In Acts chapter 27, ito po yung tagpo na kung saan si Pablo at ang kanyang mga kasamahan ay nagkaroon ng shipwreck. At dito sinabi ni Apostol Pablo, huwag kayong matakot, walang mapipinsala sa atin, walang mamamatay sa atin. Just stay in the boat. And on the course of that particular chapter, there are soldiers and there are people who attempted to go out of the boat para iligtas nila ang kanilang sarili. At ang sabi ni Apostol Pablo, do not leave the boat, for you will surely die. Here is the responsibility and the sovereignty of God. Makikita po natin na ipinangako ng Diyos kay Apostol Pablo na walang mapipinsala sa kanila. Subalit, ang kasangkapan ng Diyos upang hindi sila mapinsala ay manatili sa bangka. In like manner, yan din po ang tema dito sa verse 18. Pinoprotektahan ng Diyos ang mga mananampalatayang hindi nagpapatuloy sa kasalanan. Hindi sila gagalawin ng kaaway. But there is the personal responsibility of the believer. That is to keep. That is to keep. And what are those things that the believer ought to keep? He has to keep the means of grace. Kinakailangan niyang manatili sa kaparaanan ng biyaya ng Diyos in order to persevere in the faith. Dito natin makikita in verse 18 and in verse 21, a form of a perfect balance from beginning to end. Yes, the Lord protects His children, but they have to keep. These children have to obey. These children have to do the responsibility to keep them themselves, to keep themselves. Bilang isang maliwanag na aplikasyon, bilang isang mananampalataya, are you living in a perfect balance of knowledge, of perseverance about the sovereignty of God and personal responsibility? Ipinapangako at sinasabi ng Banal na Kasulatan, tayo po'y pananatiliin sa ating pananampalataya. And that is the sovereignty of God. That is the preservation of the saints. However, there is the balance. And the balance is, are we keeping the means of grace? God promised spiritual growth and grace. But we have to do our part, that we have to stay, to grow with the community of the believer. There must be a balance. Sapagkat yun ang tunay na ebidensya at bunga na you are a born of God. Yun po yung ebidensya na sinasabi po dito sa verse 18, everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. Hindi siya masaya na namumuhay siya sa pagsuway sa Diyos. Ang isang tunay na mananampalataya, yes, siya'y nahuhulog sa kasalanan, siya'y nagkakasala, he keep on sinning, he keep on breaking God's law, intentionally or unintentionally. But, hindi siya nagpapatuloy. Hindi siya magiging, dapat magiging masaya na deliberately siya ay nag-mimiss ng mga biyaya ng Panginoon. Isang halimbawa, ikaw ba'y tumugon na sa panawagan at tungkulin ng pagsisisi at pananampalataya? Sa mga kaluluwang nakikinig sa inyong mga tahanan, alam mo ba na ang pagsisisi at pananampalataya ay inuutos ng Diyos? It is your responsibility to repent and to believe in the work of Christ. Acts 17 verse 30. Anong sabi sa Acts 17 verse 30? Turn your Bibles. Come on, turn your Bibles and see it for yourself. Gawa 17 verse 30. Ano pong sabi dito ni Apostol Pablo habang siya'y nangangaral sa siyudad ng Atenas at ang mga maraming tao ay buhos na buhos sa kanilang mga pagsamba sa Diyos-Diyosan? Anong sabi ni Apostol Pablo sa verse 30? The times of ignorance God had overlooked. But now, He commands all people everywhere. What? To repent. Kabataan, kung ikay wala pang ugnayan kay Kristo, hindi maaaring gamitin sa iyo ang titulong little children. Kung hindi ka pa nagsisi at nagsuko ng iyong buhay kay Kristo, wala ka pang personal na ugnayan sa Diyos. Subalit sinasabi ko sa iyo ngayong kabataan, inuutusan ka ng Diyos. Sa matagal na panahon, nakahangalan, pinalampas ng Diyos ang iyong kamangmangan. Pinalalampas ng Diyos ang iyong mga excuses na abala ka sa iyong pag-aaral. Abala kasi yung mga requirements. Abala kasi yung negosyo. Abala kasi yung trabaho. Abala kasi yung pagpapamilya. But those excuses God had overlooked, and now He is calling you to repent. The word all people here means all races. Anong klaseng, kahit anong klaseng uri, anong nasyonalidad, puti, Caucasian, African, Asian, all ages, young and old, senior citizen man o hindi. That's why sabi ko kanina, even a 9-year-old or a 99-year-old can be called little children in faith. No one in hell can say, I went to Christ and He rejected me. And the only reason why you find yourself in hell is because you failed to come to Christ. You did not repent of your sins. You did not trust the saving work of Christ at the cross. Kaya ikaw ay nasa impyerno. Hindi ka tumugon sa utos ng Diyos. Hindi ka tumugon sa responsibilidad mo ng pagsisisi, pagtalikod at pananampalataya sa buktong na anak ng Diyos. Kaya suriin mo ang iyong pananaw, susiin mo ang iyong paniniwala. There must be a jive. Magkabagang dapat ang life of doctrine, practice of doctrine, and life orthodoxy and autopraxy. If you believe in something, you ought to live by that thing. Kung ikaw ay isang mananampalataya at kumikilala ka sa salita ng Diyos, meron kang hangarin, meron kang desire, meron kang kagustuhan na isagawa ang iyong nalalaman, ang kaalaman patungkol doon. If you say you are a Christian, then the test, the real test, you ought to be in the community of Christians. Sabi nga ni Paul Washer, and I quote, a godly life is not built in a day, in a year, or in a single event, but by daily practice of prayer and renewing the mind in the Word of God. Kapatid, going back the basics, ikaw ba'y mananampalataya? If the answer is yes, how's your Bible reading? How's your prayer time? How's your church life? How's your fellowship with the believers? These are your responsibilities. These are the particular responsibility, your personal responsibility to keep such Christian responsibility. Thirdly and finally, hindi natin na makikita sa talatang ito the peculiar address, little children. Hindi lamang nakita natin the personal responsibility, keep yourself. But third and finally, the particular danger, idols, from idols. Now the question is, what does the aged apostle John might refer to this last phrase? Ano po ba yung tinutukoy niya na idols? No, it's a puzzle. Bakit? Kasi sa buong epistle ng 1 John, from chapter 1 to chapter 5, wala siyang binanggit patungkol sa salitang idols. Dito lang sa very last verse, in verse 21 of chapter 5. Yung little children, 7 beses niya binanggit eh. Diba? Pero dito, yung salitang Diyos-Diyosan, nireserve niya. At inalagay niya sa pinakadulo, pinakahuli. That's why I titled God's message, The Last Warning from the Last Apostle. Kakaiba niya tinapos yung kanyang epistle na ito. Hindi niya ito tinapos bilang kagaya ng ordinarily greetings or doxology, but tinapos niya ang epistle na ito of a strong warning. Well, there are three things that can possibly mean idols sa sinasabi ni John, ni aged Apostle John, the last apostle. First, he may mean a literal and physical curved images. Tandaan po natin, sa first century Christians, ito'y inuutos niya. At during those times, yung mga pagano ay galing talaga sa mga literal na pagsamba ng Diyos-Diyosan. Subalit, they were enlightened by the power of the gospel at sila'y tumalikod mula sa buhay na sa mga Diyos-Diyosan tungo sa buhay na Diyos. Turn your Bibles in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Unang Thessalonica chapter 1 verse 9. Ano pong sabi dito ni Apostle Pablo? For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Basically, ang mga pagano po, ang mga naunang mga first century Christians, ay galing po, particularly ang mga Hintil, sila po ay galing talaga sa maling pagsamba, sa maling konsepto ng Diyos. At bunga ng kanilang pagkaunawa at nasumpungan nila ang biyaya ng Diyos, ang awa ng Diyos, tumalikod sila sa mga literal na mga Diyos-Diyosan. This is true to every believer. Kung ikaw ay dating hindi mananampalataya at lumaki ka sa isang pamilya na meron kang Roman Catholic background, it is very familiar, or it's very natural na lamang, these images. But because of the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, ikaw ay nagpasyang huminto at tumalikod sa mga physical at literal na mga Diyos-Diyosang ito. Let us also remember, nung sulatan ni John, ang Ephesians na ito, he is addressing the Ephesian church. Nasa Ephesian church, in Acts chapters 19, kilalang kilala ang Efeso saan? Sa temple ni Diana. At doon sa temple ni Diana, na one of the great 8 wonders of the world, ancient world, those times, are punong-puno po ng mga idols. So possible, John is referring to physical and curved idols. Ito rin po yung mensahe last week. Di po ba? Yung ika-third generation na hindi kinilala ng mga second generation, hindi nila kilala ang Diyos ng kanilang ninuno. Sila'y bumaling sa mga Diyos-Diyosan. So, isa sa mga masasabi nating mabigat at matitibay na interpretasyon ng idols na sinasabi dito ni Apostle John, are literal and physical idols. Why? Kasi kung titingnan natin ang history ng kasaysayan ng Israelita at mga Hudyo, sila ay nabaling, sila ay nahumaling, sila ay na-attract sa mga physical curve and images. It's a very strong point. But secondly, John may refer not only physical images and curved idols, but John may probably mean the spiritual idolatry of Paul. Remember, si Apostle Pablo po, siya ang nagpasok ng spiritual idolatry. Turn your Bibles into these two verses. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. verse 5. Ano pong sabi dito? For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexual immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an adulterer, idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and God. Colossians chapter 3. Turn your Bibles in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So dito makikita po natin, the aged John Beloved, the Apostle John the Beloved, he may refer the spiritual idolatry of Apostle John. So we have two interpretations. Physical, literal, curved images or idols. Or secondly, John may refer the spiritual idolatry of Apostle Paul. Lastly, we may also interpret these idols as John may refer to the idols of the heart. What is idolatry? Ano po ba ang Diyos-Diyosan? Commentators would agree it is anything, something, maybe someone that occupies, that has come in between you and God. It is anything, something, or someone that takes the place of God. It is anything or something or someone that has become a substitute for God, that has become the first place in your life instead of the true living God. At itong Diyos-Diyosan sa ating mga pusong ito, na hindi literal, hindi rin spiritual, it may be harmless, you may think. And many of these idols in the heart, they are beautiful. They are useful to you. It could be your pet that relieves your stress for a time, for a moment in your life. But it can replace God and become your idol. It could be your family, your wife, or your children. Unknowingly, they can be an idol in your heart. Dahil sa pagmamahal mo sa kanila, na maaaring a particular day ay mapapalitan mo ang Diyos sa iyong puso, alang-alang sa iyong asawa, alang-alang sa iyong pamilya. Na halimbawa sa araw na ito, na sa araw ng Panginoon, na dapat mong igalang at kilalanin that this is the day of the Lord, you transform it as a family day. For one day, that idol of your heart, you set aside God and replace your family. Or it could be your favorite pastime, your favorite leisure, your favorite sports. You replace your attention the very moment of this worship service. You may be here, you may be watching, but your mind, uy, game to ngayon ng NBA Finals. Ay, hindi ako nanonood ngayon. Pero iniisip mo, sino kaya lamang? the way we handle our social media. So much narcissism. So much of you promoting yourself. Na every time you read good comments, many likes, many views, you feel so good. And yet you become irritated kapag kokonti ang likes and views. It could be the love for theology. Na some reformed people, they adorn the doctrine of grace. Pinaglalaban nila, pinagtatanggol nila sa kanilang social media and neglecting the God of the doctrine. For others, some people worship their unforgettable moment, their unforgettable experience. Nangyari yan kay John. Turn your Bibles in the last chapter of Genesis, Revelation. Follow me. Revelation chapter 22, verse 8 and verse 9. Matapos pong ihayag ng anghel ang lahat ng mga vision dito sa Revelation, anong sabi niya sa verse 8? Sa verse 9. Revelation 22, verse 8. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant. Kapatid, kahit yung iyong personal na karanasan, for a moment, you can put it as an idol in your heart and replace God. Ito ang halimbawa, oh. Si Juan mismo. Sa sobrang amazement and kagilagilalas na opportunity na makita niya what is to come, eh, napasamba siya sa anghel. Good thing pinigil siya ng anghel. Wag mo kong yukuan, wag mo kong sambahin. Ako'y kagaya mong alipin, alagad. And that's what idols in the heart do. For a moment, for an hour, or a day, a week, a month, that very thing na beautiful and useful to you could be an idol. Maaaring your well-paid job, your current job right now, kapatid, because you are being well-paid, it can lure you away from God and forget the God who bless you and give you that job. Because of the good pay and less stress, you enjoy the benefits and your working condition is so good that you become confident of this work. But it takes away you to the faith. Your job is an idol. You build confidence sa trabahong ito. Sapagkat you know sa trabahong ito, it can take you places. It can bring good fortune to you and to your family. It can answer all your earthly needs, your desire, at the expense of taking away you from the fellowship of believers and at the expense of your spiritual growth. That itself is an idol in the heart. Maybe you are wondering, Pastor, ano ang sintomas na itong akala kong nakikinabang ako, maganda para sa akin, eh, nagiging idol na pala sa aking puso. How can I spot an idol in my heart? What are the symptoms I possess idolatry in my heart? Let me suggest three things. First, it is an idol in your heart if it operates like an obsession in the back of your mind. If you become so obsessed, it calls your attention so much, it has become an idol. It may be a gadget. It may be your cell phone. It may be your Wi-Fi. It may be your social media. It may be food. It can take away your mind for the whole day, for a week. Na wala kang ibang iniisip kundi yun. And that's an idol of your heart. Second, if you find yourself taking unwise measures, unhealthy measures to attain it, definitely, that is an idol in your heart. Kapag sobra-sobra na ang labis na obsession mo, you will do whatever it takes to attain it. Kahit mandaya ka. In the field of work, you want the promotion, kahit siraan mo yung kasamahan mo sa trabaho just to get that promotion. In the field of sport, you want to win at all costs. You are going to get hit, get it by hook or by crook. And third symptoms, having an idol of the heart. Hindi lamang it operates like an obsession in the back of your mind. It find yourself taking unwise measure, unhealthy measure to attain it. But thirdly and finally, it feels you so affected and bitter for not having it. Sobra-sobra ang labis ng iyong kalungkutan, depression, kahit anong amount at dami ng encouragement ng iyong pamilya, ng iyong mga kaibigan, ng mga mananampalataya to pacify your emotion, walang bisa. In fact, kapag ginagawa nila ito, nabibwisit ka. You are so easily irritated when people console you for not having it. Those are the symptoms of having an idol in your heart. Which John says, little children, keep yourself from idols. How are you going to resolve the idol of our hearts? First, be honest with the Lord about it. Trust that if you confess this idol in the Lord, He will forgive you and open arms forgive you. Second, ask Him to show you that this idol is deceiving you and stealing you the contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ipanalangin mo na makita mo nawa, ma-realize mo na dinadaya ka nito sa iyong puso. Sapagkat siya ang nagpapalit kung ano ang dapat na si Jesus ang nagbibigay sa iyo ng sigla at kaligayahan. Sapagkat inaagaw niya ito sa iyo. And thirdly, remove them in your heart and replace them with the love for Christ and His Word. Kung paano mo pinalitan ng Diyos ng mga idols na ito, alisin mo din siya at ibalik mo si Kristo sa iyong puso, sa iyong isip, ang kanyang mga salita sa iyong puso at sa iyong mga isip. Tayo manalangin. Patawad, Panginoong Diyos, sapagkat maaaring hindi kami sumasamba sa mga pisikal, literal na mga Diyos-Diyosan, subalit napakaraming mga Diyos-Diyosan sa aming mga puso. Tulungan mo po kaming may spot namin ng mga Diyos-Diyosan na ito. Tulungan mo po kaming maging tapat sa inyo na hindi ka po namin paltan kahit ilang segundo, ilang minuto, ilang oras o ilang araw. Si Apostol Juan na isang dakilang apostol ay nahulog sa Diyos-Diyosang ito. At siya'y pinaalalahanan ng isang anghel na hindi nararapat. At ito'y maaaring mangyari sa amin, O Diyos. May you forgive us. And may you show us that this idol is deceiving us and stealing the contentment that God offers to His children. May we place you back where do you belong? In the pinnacle of our heart, of our soul, and our mind. Forgive us, Father, for having the idols in our heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.